Dr. Dobiash, real one. Could you tell me where you were born, first of all?
I was born in Czechoslovakia, in the westernmost part, Bohemia, on the border, ethnic border, between the Czechs and the Germans in the northern part of the country.
This is the region we call Sudetenland.
Yes, it was called Sudetenland only by the Germans. Before the war, the word Sudetenland did not exist. It was created. It was called after a range of mountains, Sudeti, or in German, Sudeten, but it was not a region called like that until the Nazis realized that it was a political thing to call it that way.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a builder of industrial chimneys. That was at the time when factories in that area started to be built, like factories for making ropes or factories for cutting imitation glass stones. All these factories required a certain heating furnaces, and for that purpose chimneys had to be built. My father was one of those who built them and who maintained them.
So he was an employer?
He was self-employed, but he built, designed, and built the chimneys.
Was your family rich or poor or comfortable or what?
Comfortable. I wouldn't say they were not rich. They were comfortable. My mother came from the country, from a farm. Her parents had a small farm not far from Turnov, the place where I was born. And they got married before the war, and I was born in 1913, just before the First World War.
And what about brothers and sisters?
I have only one sister who still lives in Czechoslovakia. She married a professional officer before the war, and of course during the war he was very, very careful, because otherwise he would have followed my steps to the concentration camp. But he kept low and he survived.
What was the religious background of your family?
We were a Catholic family in Czechoslovakia.
Were your parents regular churchgoers?
No, they were not, but they went only on certain days, Christmas, Easter. They were believing people, but they were not very deeply religious.
But you were brought up to be a believer yourself?
Yes, I was brought up to believe.
Were your parents interested in politics?
Yes, my father was a nationalist, a Czech nationalist. I remember still from my youth that he was very much against the Austro-Hungarian monarchy, and he wanted desperately to join any group which would fight for the independence of the Czechs and Slovaks.
Did either your mother or father belong to a political party? Were they organized?
No, not to my knowledge. They were not politically active as such.
What about your schooling?
I went to the school, primary school in Turnov, the place where I was born. After 5 years, I went to the technical school in Turnov, called Realschule in German, Realka in Czech. But my feelings were more towards humanities. So after 4 years, my father sent me to the German-speaking town of Reichenberg, or Liberec in Czech, where I finished the so-called Reform Real Gymnasium in German, or equivalent of a grammar school.
What do you recollect from your young days about relations between the Germans and the Czechs in the area where you lived?
My first recollections were very, very friendly. I grew up on the border, and I had many friends who were German-born, German-speaking, and we were very, very friendly. At the time, my father insisted that I learn German properly as my second, practically he called it my second mother tongue. And when I went to Liberec, to that grammar school, he insisted that I lived with a German family so that I could learn the language fluently and perfectly, which I did. I went home only for the weekends. It was only about 14 miles away from the town where I was born.
But did you ever come across Germans who said to you that they thought they ought to belong to the German Reich rather than the Czechoslovak Republic?
Not during the early years of my childhood. There was no problem at all. It only started when around 1935-36, when Hitler came to power and when certain political factors started to work on the idea that the Sudeten Germans, called at that time, should belong to Germany, not only emigrating to Germany, but that part where they lived should belong to Germany. But that was more or less theoretical and we didn't give it much thought.
But did you find amongst popular attitudes in the part of Czechoslovakia where you lived that there was any kind of racialist feeling on the part of Germans towards Czechs or on the part of Czechs towards Germans?
Yes.
An attitude of contempt.
Yes, it was. It developed, obviously, with the years. It didn't start like that. When I lived, actually, with the German family in Reichenberg, we were such good friends that we even visited each other even afterwards, up to the start of the hostilities. I have a friend who now lives in Munich, who stayed with us and in Turnov, and who learned Czech as a German, and who was, during the war, in the army, was sent to Russia, and afterwards emigrated or was sent as a German to Germany, and he lives in Munich and we keep in touch and we are very, very good friends.
But what kind of typical racialist attitudes would you get by Germans towards Czechs and vice versa?
The Germans insisted in conversations that that part was part of Germany and that they wanted, as they called it in German, Heim ins Reich, that part should belong to Germany, and unless it happened that they did not want to remain friendly with the Czechs.
Do you remember the rise of a German nationalist party under Konrad Henlein?
Henlein, yes, I do very well indeed. Some of the friends I had at first hesitated and afterwards confessed to me that they had to join because there was a certain pressure by other friends and they would have been ostracized if they hadn't joined. But they took it, as far as I remember, as a joke.
What did you actually see of the activities of Henlein's party?
Not really much. They were meetings, private meetings, secret meetings, as they called them, but I didn't give them much thought.
Can we talk a little bit about the Czechoslovak Republic as it existed between 1919 and 1938? And can you tell me what life was like for people living in that republic in those days? First of all, from the point of view of standard of living?
The standard of living was varied, as far as I remember. Obviously, there was poverty like everywhere in Central Europe that was not concentrated in one area or one country. There was poverty, but not any less or not any more than, say, in Austria, which I visited in those days, or in the neighboring countries. Generally, the living standards, as far as I can remember as a growing young boy, they were satisfactory, friendly, joyous, and above all, there was freedom in that country. Even though I don't belong to the country anymore, I must say thinking back of those days, we had freedom in Czechoslovakia. The Germans, for instance, had their schools in the German-speaking areas. They were instructed completely in the German language. They didn't even have to take as a subject Czech. They were absolutely free to do what they wanted. They had their representatives. They were absolutely free. They were Czechoslovak citizens of the German language.
Was the Communist Party strong in your part of Bohemia?
Not in the part where I was, because it wasn't really industrial. It started to be, but it wasn't industrial to such an extent that there would be economic privations, which always bring up the question of revolt or communism. In other parts, as far as you remember, in the mines, in the areas of mining or steel manufacturing, yes, I remember there was quite a bit of propaganda for the Communist Party.
Did you personally know communists?
Yes, I did. I did, especially among students. When I was at the university, we had students with a background of not probably wealthy, but well-to-do people who from idealistic reasons thought that the equality, which in those days was similar to the first Christian ideas, was the thing to do. And they really formed certain groups. They may not have been members of the Communist Party, but they certainly were sympathizers.
Did any of these men and women become important leaders of the Communist Party later?
Not from the people I knew personally, because several of those died in the concentration camps. But I met people in Mauthausen from Czechoslovakia, very intelligent people, who were sent there as communists, who survived, and after the war were very high up in the communist hierarchy. For instance, the president of Czechoslovakia, Antonín Novotný, was a personal friend of mine in Mauthausen. At the time, we all knew that he was a strong communist, but we never imagined that he would become the president of Czechoslovakia after the war. He was a very friendly, very helpful person.
Can you say more about what he was like as a man?
He worked in a commando, as they call it in Mauthausen, which was not really exposed to the elements like the quarry, Wienergraben, where most people died. And he joined with all the activities, ethnic, with the Czechs, and he was a most enjoyable person to be with. There were others, for instance, I recall the name of Hendrik, who became one of the top communist leaders after the war, and several others who got, due to the fact that they were imprisoned during the war as communists, and that they were and survived, they were in Mauthausen and survived, became very influential people in the Communist Party in Czechoslovakia.
Did the loyalties of the communists in Czechoslovakia in those days, before the war, seemed to be towards the Czechoslovak Republic or towards Russia?
No, they were, as far as I remember, they were for Czechoslovakia, but to form a certain type of government or influential political party which would assist the poorer classes in Czechoslovakia. As far as I remember, they never thought or discussed a possibility of joining Russia or Soviet Union, or being part of it, or being even subjected to the rule from the East.
What was your own attitude towards communism before the war?
As a student, obviously, like all the ideas, I read about it, I read the books, I considered it, and frankly, I thought it was not a bad idea, except I was for freedom, and I gathered from the information I got that freedom was only second-hand. If you become a communist, you have to obey, and it's a dictatorship. And for that reason, I soon discarded the idea. I was playing with it, I must say. I was playing with the idea. I considered all the pluses and minuses. But finally, I decided that once you lose freedom, you lose everything.
So how would you describe your own personal political position before the war?
I was not a member, but I sympathized with the so-called Socialist Party, which was called in Czech National Socialist, obviously, which had nothing to do with the German National Socialist Party. There were middle-class people who were nationalistic and yet socially, or not socialistically, very social-minded. There were very few wealthy people among those. It was the party of President Beneš, and they were middle class, middle center, even though their name was socialist.
How were the leaders of the Czechoslovak Republic, like Beneš and so on, regarded by the population, do you think?
In general, they were regarded very, very sympathetically. It's very difficult to say for me what other people did, for instance, in parts, as I mentioned before, where the communists were strong. I never lived there and I couldn't judge. But in the parts, which was partly rural, the Socialist Party, National Socialist Party, was one of the four main parties in Czechoslovakia, and there was no animosity or no infights among those four parties.
And Masaryk, how were the Masaryks?
Oh yes, he was also, he was part of this process of middle-class National Socialist philosophy.
Was there any fascist movement in Czechoslovakia before the war?
Yes, there was. Not very strong. It was more or less very strongly nationalistic, and it developed only at the beginning, just leading before the war. Excuse me. After the after the occupation, certain groups, who members of certain types of people who wanted to get ahead over the others and who wanted to get financial or other privileges, formed a so-called Vlajka, which was a party, small party, which was definitely fascist. And they were very well thought of by the occupying forces. And they got certain privileges, but the number was very small.
What kind of historical or ethnic or racial things did they draw on for their ideology, the Czechoslovak fascists?
They imitated more or less the Nazism and fascism in Italy. They were anti-Semitic. They were militarily oriented. But from what I gathered, the main thing was to get to positions where normally they would never have come because of lack of education or lack of intelligence, but it helped them really to get ahead.
Were they stronger in the Czech or the Slovak or the Ruthenian parts of Czechoslovakia?
Personally, I would know because I never lived in Slovakia or in the eastern part, and I had no contact with the people there. So personally, I couldn't judge.
What were relations like between Czechs, Slovaks and Ruthenians?
Frankly, they were normal. I would say normal, because even the Czechs looked at the Slovaks as a nation of lesser education, because the Slovaks were actually more linked to their neighbors in Hungary. They were friendly, but to a certain extent, and it wasn't a real brotherhood.
And the Ruthenians?
Ruthenians, I don't know anything about. They were just the part beyond Slovakia, where I've never been, and what you get only from the reports in the newspapers, we didn't hear much.
Did you have Jewish friends and neighbors in your
Yes,
part?
yes. In the town where I was born, there was a small minority of Jewish people, and we were very friendly indeed. I recall that when the situation worsened, I was approached by practically every Jewish family in Turnov to assist them by teaching them English. They saw that the danger was coming. They were hoping in those days that they would still get out. They approached, as far as I remember, all the relatives, if they had any in the West, and tried to persuade them, to help them in the States, for instance, by sending them affidavits. And I was helping them in translations or in writing letters to that effect, which I had a chance to send through Switzerland. They were very friendly, most of them very educated and considerate people. The only thing which some other Czech people in that town had against them is that they had a tendency to speak German. They sent their children to schools in outside of the Czech-speaking part, but they all spoke both languages very fluently, and they were very, very charming people, as far as I remember, through my childhood.
Were they regarded as an alien part of the community, as they seem to have been in some parts of Eastern Europe?
Not in the part where I live. I'm sure they were considered just as Czech as we were. The only thing they were considered that they had a different religion, which of course even in the town where I was nothing special, because they were Protestants, they were different groups of religions, and they were considered like one of those groups where they had, as I was told when I was growing up, they had a different religion, and that was it. Obviously, they were people who were anti-Semitic. We know throughout history that anti-Semitism exists in practically every country on the surface of the globe. I was told including Israel, but that is exaggerated mostly by the so-called philosophies of the fascists and extremely nationalist parts or groups of any nation.
Did you witness any anti-Semitic acts or remarks?
Yes, yes. Oh, from time to time you overheard. Things like, oh, what do you expect, they are Jewish. But not in any bad way. I never recall in the town where I was any act of direct unfriendliness towards the Jewish people. If I heard it, overheard it, it was usually behind their backs, not towards them.
Did you witness any anti-Semitic assaults against Jews?
By the Czechs?
Yes.
No, never. Never.
By Germans?
Yes. When once before I was imprisoned, of course I didn't live in that town very long until I was imprisoned. But before I was imprisoned, of course the hatred of the occupying forces was obvious immediately. They were immediately ostracized. They had to wear the Star of David, and the attitude of the Nazis or the Germans who occupied was terrible.
We'll say more about that later. But can I ask you about your own attitudes towards foreign countries in the years before the war? Which countries did you regard as being particularly friendly towards Czechoslovakia?
Obviously, it was France. Czechoslovakia was geared towards France. In grammar schools and everywhere, French was the number one language, even though German wasn't obligatory, but German was important. But all the schools were preferring the French language, and everybody tried to speak French.
What did people expect of France from the political and security point of view in Czechoslovakia?
They expected help from France in case of trouble, and they didn't get it. in my opinion, that was the beginning of the problem, where the occupation helped to change the minds of the Czech people and insisted on telling them that, look what happened, the West never helped you. And the Czechs, who were hoping and who were so friendly towards the West after Munich, became embittered, and that's where actually communism started. They were told, you cannot depend on the democracies, you have to turn to the East. As it happened, Soviet Russia didn't help either.
How was Soviet Russia regarded before Munich?
As a hope, also as a hope. Mistrust, but hope. I couldn't describe it otherwise.
Why should there be hope?
Because they knew that if the West did not help, that the Soviet Union might. And when the Nazis attacked Poland and subsequently the Soviet Union, the population of Czechoslovakia, as far as I knew it, it's very difficult to generalize in any case, was the feeling that the massive population and determination of the Soviet Union would finally break the back of the Nazis, and that was their hope.
What about attitude of Czech people towards these smaller countries, which were your neighbors, like Poland and Hungary?
Hungary was difficult, because there were problems between the Slovaks and the Hungarians, but generally there was no unfriendliness as such, but no friendly relations as far as I remember. In other words, there were no exchanges, people did not want or tried to visit Hungary. Poland was a little difficult, because Poland is a Slav nation, the language is very close to Czech, and there was always a feeling of friendliness towards the Poles, even though they were mistrusted. Under Pilsudski, they always thought that Poland was leaning towards fascism or towards dictatorial ideas, and in the real democratic Czechoslovakia, it was not well thought of.
Did you, before the war, pay many visits to other countries?
Not many, but I was always very interested in visiting other countries and to learn foreign languages. I started learning English at the time when nobody in the town where I was interested. I took private lessons, I learned from books, and it was my ideal always to come to the world.